This morning's gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 9, 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, and when he says this, he's talking about predicting his own death right before this. You'll see how that connects in a moment. He took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became a bright flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," for he did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord. Allow your teaching time this morning to work in us and work with us, Lord. Open our hearts and eyes and minds to what you have to say to us. Pray this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Kind of a cool thing to know that this text, all over the world, in all different kinds of churches, is being read on this day. The day we call it the Day of Transfiguration. And what I see Jesus doing here is he's being a great friend, especially to Peter, James, and John. He's being a great friend. It's as if he knows that in the days ahead, these three guys are going to see Jesus on a cross. They're going to see him crucified, suffer, and die. And Jesus knows that when they see that, they'll never be able to unsee it. And so I'm wondering if Jesus is like, "I got to help these guys out. These guys are going to be devastated if that's all they have to see." And so he gives them this moment to see him here on the mountain so that these guys can handle seeing him on a cross, suffering and dying. He's being a great friend to these guys. It's like he's saying to Peter, James, and John, "I've told you flat out that I'm the light of the world. But don't just take my word for it. I'm actually going to light up, you know?" And it's like he's saying, "I've told you flat out. I only do what I hear my Father doing. That's all I do. But just don't take my word for it. Listen to the Father's voice for yourself." You know, these kinds of things. He's planting this moment in their minds that gives them a chance to handle what's going to come ahead. And so it's bright. It's a great scene, kind of like in a movie, of smoke and lightning and this Moses and Elijah. It's kind of like Jesus is saying, "Don't take my word for it that I'm the fulfillment of the Torah. I'm the fulfillment of the Old Testament. I'm the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Moses and Elijah are right here with me." So all of this is happening, but when I read the verse this week in preparation for this day, and I'm going to finish with this because I don't have much time, the words that stuck out to me as I read Luke compared to Matthew and Mark, when Jesus is standing with Moses and Elijah, we don't get much detail at all in Matthew and Mark, but Luke gives us a little bit of detail. He says this: Jesus was discussing his departure. Okay? The word there I discovered is Exodus. The word he's talking about his Exodus, which is kind of great because Moses had his awesome Exodus, right? I mean, I could see them talking about Exodus. Moses chiming in goes, "Yeah, you know, Pharaoh, Red Sea, parted waters, pretty dramatic, awesome day," right? And then Elijah, he's got even a better Exodus story, you know? Walking, chariot of fire, swooping down, taken up to heaven, didn't even die. That's a pretty good Exodus story, right? And so Jesus is telling these two guys about his Exodus story. And it makes me kind of wonder, what would that be? What would he be talking about? And so I came up with a couple things. None of this is in the Bible. I'm making this entirely up. So here we go. Maybe Jesus is going, "You know, I've never been tortured before. I have no idea. I'm going into something. I've seen a Roman torture. You had to have seen it if you lived in the ancient world. It was common. But I've never been tortured before. I don't know. I don't know what's, I don't know if I can handle what's going to come at me. Or maybe he's talking about the agony of his disciples running away. You know, they desert him. He's invested 3 years of his life in these guys. And when it gets really tough, they run away. Maybe when he's talking about his exodus, he's talking to them about the grand secret of all things. And the grand secret that he's explaining to Moses and Elijah is that the grand secret is that I'm going to use evil to destroy evil. I'm going to trick the devil by letting the devil think he's getting his way and inflicting the greatest amount of evil on me as possible. And yet I'm going to pay for it in one moment. And maybe he's talking about the grand secret. Maybe he's just kind of giving fist pumps to Moses and Elijah, saying, you know what, you guys had your own Exodus stories, but your story, the story of the Old Testament, was really pointing to my story. But good job. Way to be. You're a smaller part in a much bigger story. Or maybe when he talks about his Exodus, he's just giving himself a personal pep talk, you know? He's marching into his Super Bowl, right? And he's coming at it and he's saying, you know what? I'm doing this because I love these people. I know that they're broken and they're sinful and they cannot do enough good things in their life to pay for the bad things in their life. They just can't. They're separated from a loving God and I'm going to pay for that. I'm going to pay for it completely. And I'm going to do it because I just love them. And maybe I'm going to take this even further. Maybe he's talking to Moses and Elijah and saying, you know, there's going to be a group of people, and in 2019 in this place called the University of Nebraska, City of Union, they're going to be meeting in a room together, and I want them to know how much I love them and that I would die for each one of them. If it was the only person on this planet, I would still die for that one person because that's how much I love that one person. That's how much I love you, and I'm committed to you. I don't know. It's whatever it was that Jesus was talking to these guys about his departure and his exodus. He was giving these disciples, Peter, James, and John, a great gift. And I can see Peter, and I'm going to finish my thoughts on this. I can see Peter years later, sitting around a fire, thinking through the life and thinking through these moments and kind of connecting the moment on the mountain and on the cross. And what he just simply realizes is that, wow, for me to see Jesus in his glory on the mountain makes the cross that much more powerful. Because Jesus went from here, and this is who he really is, the unprotected, the unvarnished, really on display Jesus. He went from that to the cross, and he did it for me. And maybe he's just sitting around a fire going, wow, what a great gift to see him on the mountain. So that the cross just makes that much more of an impact on my life and my heart. And I hope that it makes that impact on your life and your heart as well. Amen.